For decades, Rhode Island was viewed as New England's toughest challenge for women candidates seeking political office. Since the 17th century founding of the colony, voters have elected just 9 women to statewide office and 1 to the U.S. House. But the times, they are a-changing. Gina Raimondo's election as governor in 2014 gave Rhode Island its first woman governor. Since then, the number of women running and winning legislative seats has grown. The latest was an impressive victory forged in Newport in a special election for a vacant Senate seat. The easy winner was Dawn Oyer, a 38-year-old progressive Democratic lawyer and gay rights activist. Oyer says she wore out more than one pair of flip-flop sandals to win the campaign. She knocked on 10,000 doors, harvested $60,000 in campaign contributions, and rode the crest of a relentless get-out-the-vote effort to defeat a Republican. Massachusetts, another cobalt blue state known as a liberal bastion, also has not been hospitable to women candidates. The Bay State's first statewide elected woman candidate is Senator Elizabeth Warren, the former Harvard law professor who captured the seat once held by Ted Kennedy in 2012. By contrast, Connecticut voted for a woman governor in the 1970s and Vermont in the 1980s. New Hampshire's had 2 women governors, and Democrats Jean Shaheen and Maggie Hassan now hold both U.S. Senate seats in the Granite State. In Rhode Island, the election of Oyer comes in the wake of recent victories by progressive women on the Democratic State House side. The biggest upset was Marsha Ranglin Vassell's primary defeat of longtime State House power and majority leader John DeSimone last year in Providence. There have been others, Janine Calkins in Warwick and Katie Kazarian of East Providence, to name just 2. Massachusetts and Rhode Island both have deep traditions of liberalism and politics as ethnic tribal contact sport. The male-dominated Democratic parties were not welcoming to women candidates. Beginning in the 1980s, Rhode Island Republicans courted women candidates with success. The only woman ever elected to federal office in the Ocean State remains Republican Claudine Schneider, who served in the 1980s. As the Republican Party has veered to the right on social issues, particularly gay rights and abortion, many women have gravitated to the Democrats. Oyer replaces a woman, Teresa Piva-Weed, who rose to become Senate president. She was liberal on economic and labor issues, but parted ways with the Democratic Party on abortion and gay marriage, which she opposed. Oyer won with support from Planned Parenthood, which lobbies for legal abortion. Oyer says she plans to stand up for reproductive rights at a time when abortion is again a hot-button issue. She and other Democratic women are planning to be aggressive in pursuit of measures that would protect abortion rights in Rhode Island, even if the U.S. Supreme Court overturns the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision that made abortion legal. The number of women seeking abortions has dropped dramatically since 2000, but the rhetoric around the issue has only heated up. President Donald Trump wants to send the topic back to the states, which will trigger 50 separate abortion debates. At the Rhode Island State House, the Democrats, who have long held both the House and Senate, have kept the abortion issue under the radar, ensuring lawmakers didn't have to cast tough votes. Rhode Island hasn't had a big abortion joust since the 1980s, when a state constitutional convention put an anti-abortion amendment to voters at a statewide referendum. The anti-abortion amendment went down in a landslide after a caustic campaign. If abortion gets back to the states, expect a repeat of that campaign on steroids as digital media and national dark money groups bring this divisive debate to our public square.